Good morning, Crossville Church. How are you this morning? It's good to see each and every one of you in the service this morning. We're glad that you're here, and we're glad to have those of you who are guests with us today, and we hope that today is a very special blessing to you. Let me remind you of just a few announcements. Choir practice this afternoon at 5 o'clock. Small groups will be meeting tonight at 6 o'clock. Tomorrow night in the conference room, the church board will be having our regular monthly meeting, so board members, be sure and pick up your packets that are there at the sound desk. Wayne has those for you, and be sure and get those before you leave today. Wednesday night activities here at the church at 6 o'clock. Next Saturday is the 3-on-3 basketball tournament, and Keisha, is there anything we need to know about that, other than if you want to come and help, come and help?
Yeah, definitely come and help.
That sounds good. So that'll begin at
9 o'clock
next Saturday here down in the gym, and it's going to be a great time. This is a fundraiser for our NYI, so be sure and remember that. Annual church elections will be next Sunday morning, and the polling place will be open from about 9 o'clock until time for school. I just left out one word, from 9 o'clock until Sunday school starts, and then immediately it goes to 10:15, doesn't it? Somebody help. Wayne, put that slide up, please, sir, for the annual elections. It'll last about 8 seconds. And that'll tell me all that I need to know, because I don't have that written down on here. There we go. Annual elections, 9 to 10:15, then the end of service till noon. There we go. And so that will be next Sunday. And you do have to be present to vote if you're a member of the church, age 15 and up. We don't have any kind of absentee balloting in the Church of the Nazarene, so you do have to be present to vote next Sunday morning. Church membership class. We've had some that have expressed a desire to join the church, and we're going to do that church membership class April the 21st, following morning worship. This is the first time that I've ever done it like this, but we're going to feed those who want to join the church. The whole congregation will show up. Church membership class immediately following morning worship on April the 21st. Let me read a card to you that we received from Miss Jan Hall. Miss Jan is one of our shut-ins, and she sent this card to the church. Thank you for all your prayers and cards, and a special thank you to all the quilt ladies for the beautiful quilt that they gave her. And she says, love, Jan Hall. And so I appreciate those that check on her, and those the ladies for doing the quilt. May God bless you for that, and it is a special thing to her. And this will be on the bulletin board back in the hallway. I want to say congratulations to our teens yesterday, or for this weekend. They went to Top Nazarene Talent at Trevecca Nazarene University, and they placed third for our region in puppets. And so we want to say congratulations to them. We are proud for them and proud of them. So, any other announcements this morning? May God bless you. We're so glad that you're here. Pastor Tyler, come and lead us in worship, please, sir.
Stand with me this morning as you're able. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for this day. I am so thankful that we have the opportunity today to come into the house of the Lord. And so, God, I thank you for that. I thank you for the fact that you have brought us to this place for a very specific purpose. And so, God, this morning I pray that as we continue through this service together, that we would remember what it is that we're here for. We're here to lift up the name of the King. And so, Father, this morning I pray that we would do just that. God, I pray that you would be with us this morning. God, that you would have your will and your way in this time that we have together, and that we would leave here today as changed people. For everything you do, we'll give you praise, honor, and glory for it. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.
Let them flow in
worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. Beside you, open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. I will build my life upon chapter 14, Jesus is in the midst of a farewell discourse to his disciples, and he shares some things with them, and he says, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, so believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And then Thomas chimes in, doing his thing, and he says, well, Lord, we don't even know where you're going. How can we know the way? And then Jesus replies, and this is what he says. He says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but in the earliest days of Christianity, believers were not referred to as Christians. They weren't referred to as Jesus followers, Jesus freaks, whatever. The way that they were described by their contemporaries were followers of the way. I wonder what it would look like if we as Christians today in the 21st century in the United States of America in Crossville, Tennessee, were not identified as Christians or Jesus freaks, but as followers of the way. You know, that's got some pretty significant, that's a pretty significant statement that's got a lot of weight to it. And I don't know that we always understand exactly what that means. But my prayer for us as Christians is that we wouldn't just be followers of Christ. People would be able to pick us out of a crowd and say, that's a follower right there. They are a follower of the way. They're on their way to where they need to be. That comes with a pretty significant set of standards. And that's important for us to understand. So this morning I want us to sing together this song. We've sung it before, but it's been a good long while. So it may seem a little new to you, but that's okay. Just jump in there and hold on somewhere, and we'll sing together.
Choose the
Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you were willing. You were willing to bear our sin. You were willing to go in our place. You have showed us what living for you is really all about. And we're thankful, Lord, that we can make that choice in our life. We can choose the one who chose to live and to die for us, and that we might indeed choose to live and to die for him. I pray, Father, this morning for this congregation as we gather at this point in time in the service to look into your word together. I ask you, God, that you, through the power of your Holy Spirit, would minister to us, that you would speak to us through the reading and the preaching of your word. The Apostle Paul said it's through the foolishness of preaching that men are saved. We're thankful, Lord, that one day someone spoke to us, told us about Jesus. And because of that, we're where we are today. You can change lives. You can transform lives. You can heal bodies. You can give hope. And so we thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. Lord, we're mindful this morning that there are those of our congregation who need your physical touch. And so, Lord, we ask that you would reach your healing hand down, that you would touch and that you would lift them up. May they sense your presence. May they sense your power at work in their lives even now as we pray together. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for what you're going to accomplish as we look into your word together. Give us open hearts. Give us open minds. Give us open eyes. But Lord, also give us willing hands and feet. And for the things that you're going to do this morning, we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to speak to you this morning from Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And we're going to begin with verse 18 and read down through verse 20 here in just a few moments. As I was putting the message together, I really thought that the first illustration that I was going to use would be something that everybody would understand. And so I asked a 30-year-old, and they had never heard of anybody that I was going to talk about. I asked a young lady. I'm not going to tell how old Samantha is, but anyway. And she had never heard of any of the people I'm going to talk to you about right here at first. And then I said, well, the old folks will know who I'm talking about, to which Pastor Tyler said, no, it's the seasoned saints. So anyway, when I was growing up, we moved to Piedmont, Alabama, and when we moved to Piedmont, you could get a station out of Atlanta, Georgia, and it was WTBS. Now TBS is a network that is on most cables that are streaming services, whatever you're using these days. I always enjoyed on Saturday afternoons they show a lot of the old comedy movies, and I enjoyed watching those old movies. The Marx Brothers. Thank the Lord, somebody in here knew who they were. Yeah, you know, it was the Marx Brothers, and then there was Abbott and Costello, the Three Stooges. I had an uncle that watched every morning. That's what he did. He watched the Three Stooges. It was always good for a laugh, and I enjoyed the antics of those early comedians. One of the gags that seemed to be in every movie that you saw, it was someone playing a butler or a maid, and this was especially true in the Three Stooges movies, but also in some of the Marx movies. You know, the butler or the maid would answer the door, and they would ask to see somebody, and the butler or the maid would say, walk this way, and they always had a funny walk, and you always saw the Three Stooges or you saw the Marx Brothers trying to mimic the walk of the butler or the maid. Some of you remember that. Some of you are going, what a stupid thing to do. You know, Groucho Marx, he was known for the way that he walked and his bushy eyebrows and his mustache and his glasses and that cigar that he had all the time, you know. I guess the question, though, that when you begin to look at this about walking this way, I guess if someone were to look at us this morning, who would we resemble in our walk? Would it be Jesus? You say, Pastor, that's a pretty quick turnaround going from Groucho Marx to Jesus. You know. But I think the illustration is clear. I really do. Who are we mimicking? Who are we imitating? Who are we following in our lives? I saw a marquee on a church that said, "Watch your step, everyone else is." I wrote that down and have tried to remember that. Well, what does it mean to follow Jesus? I mean, this is serious business that we're talking about. I mean, they made it big business. A few years ago, the trend was to wear all the right gear with the right message on it. And that right message, many, many years ago now, was WWJD. You know, what would Jesus do? I mean, it was plastered on caps. It was on T-shirts. It was on bumper stickers. It was on key rings. It was on bracelets. It was on earrings. I mean, everywhere that you went, WWJD was there. And I looked at that, and some of the people that I saw wearing WWJD bracelets were not doing WWJD. They were basically doing what they wanted to do, but they were wearing the merchandise. I look at some of the advertisements that people have on their vehicles for businesses, and I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong with it, but on many of those, you have a cross or you have the fish symbol. When I was pastoring in Muscle Shoals, for about 3 months, I had a little Chevy HHR, and for about 3 months, I had the church's logo on the back of the back windshield of that car, until one day I did something real stupid while I was driving and somebody blew the horn at me, and the first thing that I thought of when I looked up to see what was going on behind me, the first thing that I saw was Muscle Shoals First Church of the Nazarene. That afternoon, that emblem came off that car. I mean, I'm not opposed to wearing things like that. I'm not opposed to, you know, to the terms. I'm not opposed to a lot of those things. I mean, they are somewhat indicators that we are at least trying to follow Jesus. But I want you to understand, we can wear the gear, we can sing the songs, we can attend the services and think that we are following Jesus. But the reality of it is we may not be. Could it be that in our attempts to follow Jesus in our thoughts, our words, and deeds, we have come to the point where we really don't know what following Jesus is? We have assumed that possibly it is wearing the merchandise. And that is especially true when we're not doing what we should be doing in our following of Jesus. Well, for the next few weeks, we're going to be examining some scriptures and discover afresh and anew what it means to follow Jesus. And I promise you, the last Sunday of this month, you're going to understand why it all came together like it has, at least in my mind. I mean, just a few months ago, we talked about denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following Jesus. But we're going to go at this in a little different way this time. Matthew chapter 4, beginning with verse 18. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." I like that. And at once they left their nets and they followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. If Jesus were to walk up to you this morning and say, "Follow me," and you really didn't know anything about him, you might have heard some things about him. I mean, that's basically, I think, where these men were. That they had probably heard about this guy from Nazareth that was doing all these things. But Jesus walks up to them and he says, "Follow me." If he were to do that, and that's about all the information that you had, what would you do? I mean, I look here at Peter and Andrew. They followed Jesus. You look on another occasion, and Jesus walks by a tax collector's table, and there's a guy by the name of Matthew there. And he says to Matthew, "Come follow me." And what does Matthew do? He gets up and he follows. A couple of Wednesday nights ago, we talked about Philip and Nathanael. Philip had told Nathanael about this one who had said, "Come follow me." And Nathanael, he's kind of wondering, you know, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip says to him, "Come and see." In other words, come follow me as I follow him. And really, when you get right down to it, this is our call. Jesus has called us, and He continues to call us to follow Him. And sometimes that call may lead us in different places and in different areas of our life. But in all of that, is as we talked about a few months ago, Luke chapter 9, verse 23, He said to them, if anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me. Well, in this time of transition, I've been really thinking a whole lot about what it means to follow Jesus. And I think we've got to ask ourselves some questions as well. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? The first question I think that we really need to answer is who we are. Who are we? I mean, who are we? That question, when you begin to analyze who are we, it really begins to define us. I mean, the common answer is somebody were to ask you, you know, who are we or who are you? I mean, the common answers might be, well, I'm a Christian. And that means that we're not Muslim. It means we're not Hindu. It means that we're not an atheist. It means that we are a follower of Christ. Well, you can go a little further than that because there are a whole lot of people in our world who call themselves Christian. And I'm not trying to judge them when I say this, but I'm trying to be real about this thing this morning. There are a lot of people who call themselves Christians who don't live like Christ. So let's move a little closer in. How about that? You could not only say, well, I'm a believer or I'm a Christian, but you could also say I'm a believer. And that means that, well, I believe in certain creeds or I follow certain beliefs. I'm different than other folks because of what I do. I'm a believer in Christ. There's a verse of Scripture that even bothers me about that term. Some of you are already shaking your head. You know where I'm going because Jesus said, even the demons believe. So I think, you know, and then we can move even closer in here this morning, okay? Well, I'm a Nazarene. And what that means is that we're not Methodist or we're not Baptist or Assembly of God. We're not some other denomination. That we are Wesleyan, Arminian. We're Nazarenes, and that's good. But I want you to understand all those other denominations that I named. You know, there are a lot of people in there that's going to go to heaven. We're not going to be the only ones there. Isn't that good? And there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with being defined as a Christian. There's nothing wrong with being defined as a believer or a Nazarene or any other denomination. But they really tell us very little about following Jesus. Jesus calls us not to merely believe. Jesus calls us not merely to belong. Jesus calls us, and the way that He calls us describes who we are and to whom we belong. That was the thing that Susie always told our girls when they would go out, remember whose you are. And she was saying, you know, remember that you're our girls. Remember whose you are. And maybe that's something that we ought to say as you go out the doors of the church every Sunday morning. Remember whose you are. You go to Acts chapter 4, verse 13. And there, Luke says that when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note. Listen to this. Hold on. They took note that these men had been with Jesus. It was more than just, I believe. It was more than, I'm a Christian. It was more than, I'm part of a denomination. Those who were questioning these men, they stood there and they realized that there was something different about them. Because they had been with Jesus. Because they had been with Jesus. I'm looking for an amen, so I'm going to say it one more time. Because they had been with Jesus. See, it made all the difference. I mean, you look at this and you come to the realization that Peter and John were following Jesus to the point that it defined them. People looked at them and they saw that there was something different about them. It defined them. But I want to tell you, not only did it define them in this, I'm still on who we are, but it also measured them. The question, who are we, measures us as well as defines them. I mean, it's a measurement that probes our hearts, and it's really where we begin to discover at what level we are following Jesus. You go to Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62, and you find this passage of Scripture. Let me read it to you. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus replied, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus said to another, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Now, I'm going to tell you, you read that and you think, man, Jesus was harsh. I mean, here's a guy, you know, he comes up and says, I'm going to follow you. And Jesus immediately says, well, the birds and the animals, they all have places to live, but I don't. And did you notice it does not say anything about the man following Jesus? Wanted some security in this thing. And then you have one that says, let me go bury my father. And Jesus says, let the dead bury their own dead. More than likely, and please understand, Jesus was God. Got to remember that. More than likely, the guy's dad wasn't even dead. He was just looking for a more convenient time. And then Jesus, another one says, I will follow you, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. In other words, Jesus, I've got this. This is important to me. And Jesus is not against family. Basically, what you have here, you have phrases like, well, I don't have time today. Maybe I can do that tomorrow. Jesus had said, follow me to all of these, or all of them had said they would follow Jesus, but then they begin to give reasons why they couldn't, or they simply do not do what Jesus has called them to do. I mean, then you have those, well, I would follow, but. And then you have that, well, I know I should follow. But sometimes, folks, I found out a long time ago that when you begin to look at this thing of following Jesus, a lot of the excuses that we make, that we say, I started to say make up, I'll be kinder, okay? A lot of the excuses that we give are to make ourselves feel better. Well, you know, I've got my family. I've got to take care of my family. And, you know, my dad's going to die one of these days, and I'm going to have to bury him. Or, well, you don't have any place to stay, so, you know, I think I'll remain where I am. In Revelation chapter 9, verse 12, there's an interesting passage there because it tells us that one day we are going to stand before the one whose eyes are like fire. Well, that's a frightening proposition, isn't it? And when we stand before Him, He's going to examine us. He's going to determine all of our excuses and know our hearts. And is our reason for not following Jesus or for only half-heartedly following Jesus, will it measure up that day? It's an awesome thought, isn't it? Who are we? You see, when you begin to ask that question, it really defines us, but it also measures us. It tells us where we are, what level we may find ourselves in this thing of following Jesus. His call, though, is follow me. Well, The second question that we really have to answer is, who are we following? I mean, if I were to go around and ask anybody in this room, especially since you know kind of what the message is about this morning, excuse me, you would say, if I were to say, are you a follower of Christ? I mean, the majority of people, I hope everybody in this room would raise their hand and say, sure, I'm following Jesus. We identify ourselves as followers. But who are we following? Are we... Hold on. Hold on tight, okay, because it's going to get close, real close, okay. Are we following the Jesus... I'm telling you folks, you got to hold on. Are we following the Jesus of our Americanized culture? Or are we following the Jesus of the Bible? Because if we're following the Jesus of our Americanized culture, we're not following the Jesus of the Bible. You see, you begin to look at this. I mean, there are a lot of calls around us. There's the call of the masses, you know, to go with the flow. I mean, then you have the call of our inward urges that tells us, you know, if it feels good, then you really ought to do it. Or you have the call of the fads, which says that everybody is doing it. Let me say this for our young folks in here. If anybody ever tells you that everybody is doing it, not everybody's doing it. They simply want you to follow them. You say, William, how do you know that? Well, believe it or not, I grew up too. You know? At one point in time, I was your age. I do understand that is hard to believe, but that is really the truth. I do have trouble remembering 16, except that I got my license at 16. But, I was 16 at one point in time. I was 13. I remember my birthday party as a 16-year-old. It was after 1776, July 4th, 1776, you know, after we'd celebrated the 200th anniversary of our country. And I had on a shirt that on one side it said 1776 and the other side of, and it was red, white, and blue. And on the other side of that shirt, it had 1976. And I was 16 years old and ready to take on the world. I didn't have a clue. And I'm not downing you if you're young. I pray for you more than you can imagine, because you face things that I never had to face. But everyone is not doing it. And if we are left to ourselves, I think we come to what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Many will follow their own shameful ways and will bring... Listen to this. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. Joseph Stoll said, "We have become quite happy to call ourselves Christians with little or no thought of following. We have deceived ourselves into thinking that we can claim the name, we can wear the merchandise, and that's good enough." It's interesting that the wisdom of our age right now says follow your own truth. Isn't that smart? Follow your own truth. Can I tell you who will give you your own truth? And that's the devil. And it doesn't matter whether you're 6 or whether you're 106. The devil will try his best to get you to follow your own truth. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Someone else said, amid the tensions of dozen voices telling us what to do and how to live, His is the one voice that should capture the attention of our hearts. And Jesus, in that small, still voice, is saying, follow me. Who are we? Who are we following? And then this third question, you're going to say, and we paid you to come up with that one. Who are we to follow? I knew you were going to think that. Verse 20, chapter 4, book of Matthew. At once they left their nets and followed him. It's the last sentence. At once they left their nets and followed him. I mean, Peter and Andrew, James, John, Matthew, Philip. I mean, there were others. They heard the passionate call of Jesus to follow him, and they did it. I've often wondered what their spouses said to them. You're leaving a job to do what? You see, will our lives be characterized by the fact that we follow Jesus? He is the one that is calling, and he is the one that we're going to have to follow. I mean, when you look at those words, and they followed him, I mean, it speaks of commitment. It speaks of them abandoning themselves. It speaks of them abandoning all that was precious and following him. So, who are we to follow? I mean, a young man came to Jesus with some high hopes of gaining eternal life. The young man said that when he asked Jesus what he needed to do, and Jesus told him, the young man said, I've done all of those things since I was a little guy. Now, I want you to understand, you can get down on that young man if you want to, but I want to point out this fact to you. When the man said to Jesus, all of those things I've done since I was a little guy, that's the bony paraphrase of that, incidentally, Jesus did not rebuke him. If there was anybody in that crowd that day that knew the young man's heart and knew what he had done, it was Jesus. But when the young man says, I've done all of those things since I was young, Jesus didn't call him out on it. But what Jesus did call him out on was who he was following, or what he was following. A lot of people have used this to say, well, Christians shouldn't be wealthy. No, that has nothing to do with this. John Wesley said that we need to earn all that we can so that we can save all that we can so that we can give all we can, okay? The issue was not the young man's wealth. The issue was the young man's heart. And he was committed to his wealth more than he was willing to be committed to Jesus. He was committed to his wealth more than he was willing to follow after Jesus. You still lack one thing. Luke chapter 18, verse 22. You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. You have to read that whole passage because the Bible says that Jesus looked at that young man and loved him. But the last part of that says that the young man's face fell, and he went away sad. He was more consumed and committed to what he had than what eternity would bring. And I'm telling you, we can get down on him and we can say, well, he made the wrong choice. Well, so have you. Don't you like how I just zinged you right there? I mean, you didn't even have time to think about that one. So have you. So have I. We've made the wrong choices. We followed after things that were not going to be worth anything when it was all said and done. Relationships, careers. I mean, you can go into all these different kinds of things. You can name all kinds of things. Folks, I'm telling you, we've made some bad choices. We have followed the wrong things. We have followed the wrong people. And Jesus is asking us. He is asking us to embrace him on a personal, emotional, spiritual way so that we can follow after him. Who are we following? Where are they going? You know, I love to ride bicycles. You can tell by looking at me, I've not done it in a while. If you ever watch cyclists, you're going to see them do something that, and you might have read my little article there in the front, on the front page of the bulletin and not had a clue what in the world I was talking about, but I'm about to tell you. Don't you like that? If you watch cyclists, a lot of times they'll ride in a pace line. And by a pace line, I mean that there's a guy on the front, and then you've got two or three or four or five or sometimes many back behind them. And what they're doing, that guy on the front or that gal on the front, they are taking the brunt, especially on a windy day. They are taking the brunt of the wind that is coming, or even just the still air. They're taking the brunt of that. And what they're doing, they're beginning to split the air that is there. And the ideal place is not first place for sure. It's not even second place. The ideal place to be riding in a pace line is number three. And then the turbulence kind of get a little bit squirrely on the back. And one of the reasons that you see as they're riding, they'll break off and they'll come back to the back, and then they'll get in the pace line and eventually work their way back to the front, unless you're the big guy in the group, and that means you stay in place three the whole time. Now, sometimes if the wind is blowing from this way, you'll see the pace line going this way, or you'll see the pace line going this way. It depends on how the wind is blowing. And a lot of people look at cycling and they say, anybody can get out and ride a bicycle. No, that is not true. Not like I'm talking about. But if you got a guy on front, he better know where you're going. Because if he doesn't know where you're going, you may ride miles and miles and miles and enjoy yourself on the trip only to get where you didn't want to be. I've been part of one of those. I was not the one who led us astray that day. I did see the arrow that said turn, but I didn't want to object. Well, there's a sermon illustration, isn't it? If you're following somebody, you better make sure they know where they're going. Because if they don't know where they're going, you're going to end up where you don't want to be. And sometimes the miles back to get to the arrow that you saw, sometimes those miles back can be very difficult. Because you've already expended your energy as you were going out that way. And it's the same in our lives. We better know who we are following. We better know that they know where they're going. Because the energy and the price that we pay for that trip out may make the trip back very, very, very difficult. And embarrassing. Application. Three questions. Who are we? Who are we following? And who are we to follow? I mean, the last one of those is the easiest answer. I mean, we know we're supposed to follow Jesus, you know. And here's something else, and I've not said this, I don't think, at all in this sermon, but I'm about to give you a nugget of truth that you better remember. We are all following someone or something. You see, who we are and who we are following, who are we following? I mean, those are questions that only you can answer. You know your heart better than I do. I see you at best three times a week. But who are you following? You see, Jesus has said to these disciples as they were there in that boat, follow me. And I guess the question that we have to answer is, are we doing that? Are we following Jesus? Are we following a version of Jesus that's not the biblical version? Are we following a version of Jesus that is the popular version? Are we following the Jesus that says, you may not have a place to sleep. You may not have a place to lay your head. You may not have a place to eat. You may not have a place. You may have to abandon father and mother and houses and lands. You may have to do all of these things. Are we following that Jesus? People who preach that following Jesus is easy, they may not be following Jesus. I want to share with you something. The last Sunday of this month, a phrase that I saw just a few weeks ago that has captured my attention. You're going to have to wait to hear it. That's April. Folks, I have to laugh at myself because I make such stupid mistakes sometimes. April the 28th, that's the day you find out. That's the day you find out. You say in your word, Lord, follow me. You told those disciples what you were going to do with them, that they were going to be fishers of men or that they would be fishers of people. The amazing thing, Lord, is that they laid everything else aside and they did exactly what you told them to do. It boggles our minds. But it was only in the following that they found what real life was all about. It was only in the following, as Jesus told that young man, it was only in the following that they found what eternal life was all about. It's easy to follow the fads. It's easy to follow the masses. It's easy to follow all of those. But Lord, sometimes the masses and the fads and the feel-goods, they're going to take us down roads that hopefully at one point in time we'll come to the realization that we're lost and we need to turn around and come back. And the coming back sometimes is more difficult than just turning when we need to. And so, Lord, this morning, I ask you that you would help us to examine who we are following. We're all following someone or something. I mean, there's no doubt about that, Lord. You know that. You've watched us do it. Help us, Lord, to follow you. Without question, without excuse, in complete abandonment to the one who abandoned himself to a cross for us. Help us to follow that Jesus. Help us to follow you. With every head bowed, every eye closed, we're not going to have any singing or any music this morning. I just wonder if there might be one, maybe more, that you need to get up from where you're sitting this morning and either come and bow here in this altar or sit on one of these chairs that's up here at the front and just have some time to talk to Jesus by yourself. No one bothering you, just you and Jesus talking about who you're following. Do you need to do that this morning? Do you need to do that? I thank you, Lord, for this time that we've had together in the truth of your word. May we receive this truth. May it occupy our thoughts and our minds in the days ahead. And may we follow you. And we pray these things in the precious name of the one who is willing to lead if we will follow. That name is Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. I'm glad you were here this morning. I hope the Lord blesses you. Remember, choir practice this afternoon at 5 o'clock. Small groups are at 6, P-Vine, and here at the church. The handouts for the group here at the church, they're at the sound desk. And when you see them, you're going to panic because there are lots of blanks on them. Bless you. I'm glad you were here this morning. You're dismissed.